Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you, and they also take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. And they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. All of Joshua chapter 1. And then looking in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful, blessed gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for how that your word is the source of all grace, mercy, love, power, peace, and so much more. And thank you for how that you pour these into our hearts and our lives as we take time to read and meditate on your word. Lord, thank you once again for the privilege of being able to walk with you in prayer daily. Father, anoint each of our prayer lives with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Set our prayer lives on fire of your Holy Spirit. Empower us all to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. And more, help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to be a people who live lives and lifestyles of faith. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the life that it brings. And Father, thank you so much for all the promises that you have for us. Father, I know that your commands stand firm, that whenever you speak and you command, that is what happens. So Father, I ask that you would help our unbelief, that you'd train us up in more walking, to better walk in faith. Father, thank you so much for your patience with us in that too. And Father, I ask that you would grow us in our trust in your promises, for your promises are always good, and Father, you always follow through. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, the Word of God tells us in several places, in fact, in four different places, it tells us basically the just shall live by faith, and how important it is that we as believers recognize that that's a critical truth for us all to know and understand and grasp. So today, once again, we're looking at the topic, a lifelong student in the school of faith. And an ongoing encouragement I want to share with every listener is that may you always be a believer that's seeking to learn more about the Word of God and applying the Word of God in faith in every area of your life. Because remember, God's Word tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And so if you want to please God, no matter what else you do, if you don't walk in faith, you cannot please God. And that may seem like an unusual reality, but if God says it, it's true. So again, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I want to take time now to share once again Hebrews chapter 11. And then we want to share from an article that we've written about faith as well. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commanded as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city which has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. All of Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you again for the wisdom, the grace, and the insight and the understanding you give us about faith throughout the Word of God. And thank you for the unique wisdom and insight that you teach us through the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Father, more and more help us to grow in understanding of the critical need for us as believers to grow in our understanding of faith, how to put it to work in our lives, how to turn the switch of faith on in our lives, and how to be a people that live a life that fully pleases you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, today we're looking at the topic, a lifelong student in the school of faith. We'll be right back.
Do it all you can do. With one word, the mountains move. When you breathe, the dead arise, and the bones come back to life. There is power in this room, where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's life. that tears down walls.
Music from Life Church with Where the Spirit of the Lord Is. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Before we get back specifically to our topic, I want to make a big request of all of those that are part of our listening family. I want to invite you, please, to be praying with us for a couple of events we have coming up. I've had the privilege of working with the national ministry called Walk Through the Bible, and I'll be doing a couple Walk Through the Bible sessions coming up the next few weeks, one at a local penitentiary and another one at a church in Jackson, Mississippi. So I want to ask if you'll be praying specifically. We'll be at the penitentiary on the 18th of February and be at Pearl Street AME Church in Jackson, Mississippi on February 22nd. Please pray for the Lord to anoint these events. Now, let me mention, I really enjoy doing them. Walk Through the Bible presentation, specifically OT Live. It takes you all the way through the Old Testament in a little over a two-hour setting, and it uses kinetic learning, which actually is a fun learning tool. So it's a good event that children can enjoy as well as adults, but it's a wonderful event that helps set you on fire with a passion to read the Word of God every single day. So we're inviting you, please pray for the Lord to anoint this event and for God to do an eternal work in the heart of every attendee. So again, those dates are February 18th at a local penitentiary and on February 22nd, be at Pearl Street AME Church, 9 in the morning to 11:30. That's a Saturday morning. February 22nd, Pearl Street AME Church, 2519 Robinson Street in Jackson, Mississippi. So if you'll pray with us. Now, if you're where you can come, please come. We'd like to invite every person that's would like to come and attend the event. We would be glad to have you to come. So if you're able to be with us for a Walk Through the Bible, February 22nd at Pearl Street AME Church in Jackson, Mississippi, 9 a.m. on that Saturday morning, we'd be glad to have you to come. Again, we're looking today at the topic, a lifelong student in the school of faith. And I would encourage you, make it a goal to read the chapter we read a few moments ago, Hebrews 11. Read it often, because remember, it mentions quite a few people and things they did by faith. Now, remember, Hebrews chapter 11 is a unique chapter in all of the Word of God, whereby it focuses largely on the exploits of faith that people did in the Word of God. Now, note now, interesting that the persons specifically mentioned by name are Old Testament characters. Now, that's not to take anything from the New Testament at all. But keep in mind, if Old Testament followers of the Lord can do things mightily by faith, what more can be done by people, those of us who live this side of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We're called to live by faith. And remember, all of us have a calling and many callings. And so a big part of the Christian life is listening to God and obeying Him. Simply listening to God and obeying Him. So read Hebrews chapter 11 often and ask God to help you grow in your understanding of how each person mentioned applied faith in their life. God has work for each and every one of us. And remember this, all of us are called to live by faith, every single one of us. I'm going to take time now to read an article. And again, if you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. It's in the article is entitled, the same title as our focus for today. The article's title is A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1. Then Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Again, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Then Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Again, Romans 1, 17. Is the word of God true? Of course it's true. It's the word of God, and the word of God is truth. And God always, always keeps his word. Well, if the word of God is true, and it is, we're each called to live as if it is true and act like it's true and live a life acting on its truth. Why would this be the case? Well, this is true because living a life of faith is to hear the word of God so we can believe and live like it's true. Faith follows the word of God because faith trusts and obeys. It spells out very clearly that walking in faith is tremendously important to everything in the Christian life. The Bible tells us, again in Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. So it's impossible to please God without faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 tells us, as well as other passage, it tells us, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Again, Romans 1, 17. So we see we are commanded to live by faith. So in view of the truth that without faith we cannot please God, and by his command, the just shall live by faith, we need to clearly understand a very important truth. Faith and living by faith are extremely important to all believers everywhere, all over the world. So every believer would be wise to decide to become a lifelong student of faith. In other words, we'd be wise to continually seek to build our faith and to continually learn more and more about faith and how to put it to work in our lives and in our world. The Word of God lets us know that every believer has some faith. Romans 12, verse 3 lets us know, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So every believer has a measure of faith. Yet we're wise to understand that our faith can grow and increase according to the word of God. And it should continually be a goal for all believers to grow and develop our faith to become stronger and stronger. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 lets us know that faith can grow when it says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. So then a believer can grow and increase his or her faith by reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God. So if you want your faith to grow and increase, read and study and meditate on the Word of God regularly. Faith is trust and belief that the Bible is true. And we live a life of faith as we trust the Word of God and live a lifestyle acting on the Word of God. For good news came to us. This is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Again, Hebrews 4, 2. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Again, that was Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Listen again to the wisdom of that verse. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Keep in mind that living a life of faith is a life in which you need to know how to turn the switch of faith on in your life. In other words, it's important to know how to activate and focus your faith and use it to overcome in any given circumstance or challenge in life. In the challenges we face every day in our lives, whether we win or lose a battle is dependent on putting your faith to work. Knowing how to use and apply your faith makes all the difference in the world as to whether you win or lose. John chapter 5, verse 4 tells us, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I'm going to read that again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. If we want to live a victorious Christian life, we need to put our faith to work in our lives every day of our lives. This is how we live a life that pleases God and that builds the kingdom of God and tears down the kingdom of darkness. Read and meditate on the Word of God every day. Learn to stand on the promises in God's Word. Grow in your understanding that God and His Word can be trusted. You and I are wise to decide to be students in the school of faith who learn more and more about how to use your faith. Why? Because one of our goals is to grow in our knowledge of how we live a life that pleases and honors our Heavenly Father. And this is a life of faith and trust in God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 tells us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Let's be lifelong students who never graduate from the school of faith. Let's be learning and growing in faith and our knowledge of faith in Him every day. Again, the title of the article, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you again, joseph@afr.net. Now, you know, Psalm 23 is a short psalm, a powerful psalm. We read it earlier, but I want to encourage you to make it a goal to read and memorize Psalm 23 every day of your life, because amongst other things, it's a powerful faith passage in Scripture. Listen to its words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter chapter 3, I want you to think about this. This is, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up at verse 12. It says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, I want you to listen again to, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Specifically, verse 17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, keep in mind, it's very helpful for us as believers to understand what freedom really is, because I think many times people don't really. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. And the fact is, often the world may think that's exactly what freedom is, but real freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. Real freedom is the ability to do the will of God. Now, let me explain that. When people have the freedom to do whatever when they have the ability to do whatever they want to do, the fact is, often things they think of as freedom actually put them in bondage. In fact, some of those things may kill them. I think of an illustration that's a simple one, but it makes the point. A story is told of a little goldfish in a goldfish bowl who he decided, I'm tired of being in this goldfish bowl. I want to get out. I want to be free. I want to be liberated from this goldfish bowl. I'm getting out of here. I want my freedom. I just really need my freedom. So he begins to leap, and slowly but surely he leaps higher and higher. And finally he leaps out of the goldfish bowl onto the counter. And he cries out, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." And then 5 minutes later, he's dead. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want to do. Real freedom is the ability to do the will of God. Again, as that scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Real freedom is found in knowing God, walking with God, and obeying God. That's where real freedom is found. So as we live a life of faith, more and more we live in real freedom. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be a people that walk by faith and live in the freedom that comes from your Holy Spirit. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to live a life of faith and freedom in you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. We'll be right back. From the group Mosaic with Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. And we were just sharing from, again, a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Once again, reading that verse again, it says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So more and more as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, we walk in the freedom of God. And remember, as we mentioned just a moment ago, freedom is not the ability and opportunity to do whatever you want to do. There are many people who've felt like, well, I want to be free. I want to do whatever I want. And when they begin to do whatever they want, often those things literally can lead to their death or the great destruction or bondage to come into their lives. Freedom is not the ability to do whatever you want. Freedom is the ability to do the will of God where there's genuine and great freedom in the Spirit and the will of God. So keep in mind, our goal is to continually be in the Word of God, the will of God, and in the Spirit of God as well. Now, keep in mind, too, I want to challenge us all as believers to make it our goal to seek to obey our way into great faith. Again, obey your way into great faith. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, the fact is, faith and obedience, in a sense, you might say, are two sides of the same coin. Faith in God and obedience of God are tightly knit together. It's important to know that obedience is an expression of your faith. I want to take time now specifically to share another article entitled Faith and Obedience. Now, keep in mind, remember, You're never wrong to agree with God. So when you find a promise in the Word of God and agree and stand on it, even though it may not look like it's true, it's important to know you're never wrong to agree with God. You're wise to agree with Him. And the more you stand on His Word and agree with His Word, the more the manifestation comes to place in your life. And remember, obedience is hearing God's Word and acting on it. So again, this article, Faith and Obedience. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Again, Matthew 7:24-27. What is the relationship between faith and obedience? What is the connection between these two concepts? Are they one and the same or are they two entirely different issues? This is actually a very important question to consider. What's the answer? Some might say that faith and obedience are two sides of the same coin. So what's the connection? Actually, obedience is an expression of faith. It's a response to faith and trust in God and His Word. Obedience should always be the result and fruit of faith. The two should definitely go hand in hand. So what if someone states, I have a lot of faith, I just struggle to live a life of obedience to the Word of God? It's very important to know that true faith will always result in obedience to the Word of God. When a person disobeys the Word of God, they're being faithless in a given situation. Reading now from this passage. This is from the book of James, James chapter 2, verses 14 to 25. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Again, James 2:14-25. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham is told by God to get up and leave his family and go to a land he would show him. For Abraham to obey God in this matter, it took faith and trust in God and his word. Well, Abraham did put his faith and trust in God. He packed up and in obedience to the word of God, moved to the land God showed him. Abraham heard the word of God and in faith obeyed that word. And he was blessed by God as a result of his faith and obedience. And the world continues to be blessed even up to today by the obedience and trust of Abraham in the Word of God. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Israel was called upon to put their faith and trust in God. The children of Israel were called by God to go and conquer the Promised Land. But after the 12 spies who were sent returned from spying out the land, 10 of the 12 spies had an evil report. In what way was their report evil? It was a report of unbelief. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, believed that with God's help, Israel could go immediately and conquer the promised land. The majority of the children of Israel believed the reports of the 10 unbelieving spies. The children of Israel therefore failed to put their trust in God then, and they failed to put their trust in God then that he would help them to conquer the land of Canaan. They didn't put their faith in God and therefore chose to disobey the Lord. They didn't seek to go into the promised land at that point. Instead, they became upset at Moses and they came to this difficult place in these circumstances. Their lack of faith and obedience to the word of God had a tragic result. Sadly, even 120 years, excuse me, sadly, everyone, excuse me, sadly, everyone 20 years old and older, except Joshua and Caleb, all of this multitude of people was to die in the wilderness because of their unbelief before they could go into the promised land. So faith and obedience are very important for any and every believer every day of our lives. The Word of God says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. So if we desire to live a life that pleases God, we must live a life of faith and trust and obedience to God. And closely connected to this, and closely connected to that truth is this. If we desire to live a life that pleases God, we must live a life of obedience to his word. Every day, it's the responsibility of every follower of Christ to put their faith and trust in God. And we're called to step out in obedience to the word of God again if we want to live a life that pleases God. The word of God is the will of God. We're called to read and meditate on the word of God every day. And we're called to have faith in God's word and obey him every day. Again, the title of the article, Faith and Obedience. To get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. So as we draw to close, I want you to ask yourself this very important question. Are you a person of faith? Each of us should ask the question, am I a person of faith? Well, then, if you want to know the answer, ask yourself this question to follow that one. Am I an obedient person? Do I do what God has called us to do? Keep in mind, there's so many things God calls us all as believers to do that sometimes, too often, sometimes we can neglect them. The Word of God tells us to go into all the world and make disciples. An important task for believers is we're wise to get gospel tracts and carry them and give them as the Holy Spirit directs us to. Are you someone who gives out gospel tracts sometimes? Are you one who shares your faith in settings where you have a chance to tell others about Christ and invite them to come to know Christ? Do you invite people to church? Those are some things that as believers we're called to do to help share the gospel in obedience. Do you give to the work of God's kingdom? Do you give tithes and offerings faithfully to the Lord and to his work? You know, in my years as a pastor, I found that the statistics said that less than 10% of believers all over the world give tithes and offerings to God. What a tragedy. God blesses all of us with whatever income we have. And for a person to decide, well, I can't afford to tithe, God will never call us to do something we can't afford to do. He'll call us to do things that we can only do in faith and trust in him. Obedience and faith are closely tied together. Are you an obedient believer? Do you diligently look for the commands that God gives us in his word and you seek to obey them literally? The word of God tells us in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you one who seeks to give thanks to God in the storms as well as in the sunshine of life? That's a part of obedience. And remember, obedience and faith are vitally connected to one another. We're called to be a people of faith. We're called to be a people of obedience as well. So again, may it be your goal to hear the word of God and to stand on the word of God continually. Remember, you're never wrong to agree with God, and we're wise to speak the promises of God and his word over our lives every single day. Again, today we've been looking at the topic, the lifelong student, a lifelong student in the school of faith. May it be your goal to be one who's growing in faith every day of your life. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you know you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, today is a great day, a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, Would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray and talk to you every day. Help me to obey you every day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We're asking you, please email us so we can share with you some literature and resource materials that do help you to grow and to grow up in your faith. And if you have questions or have prayer concerns, please email those as well. But we want to be in touch with you. Please do again, email us joseph@afr.net so that we can get those resource materials to you. If you'd like to get a copy of any of the articles that we shared, the articles entitled, again, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith, and the other article, Faith and Obedience, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. We've been looking today again at the topic, A Lifelong Student in the School of Faith. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.